lesson number six already, in looking at the list of words, of one another words. And this one is found in Romans chapter 14. I apologize, I didn't put the verse at the top. I just put Romans. We're looking at all of Romans chapter 14. We're going to look at it verse by verse. But the key verse is in verse 13, so you may want to write that at the top. And the phrase that gives the comments or the lesson for this evening in verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore. And then the verse continues, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So we kind of ask the question in the beginning, well, which is it? Is it there, let us not therefore judge, or but judge this? Answer I put in your notes, both. Both positions are correct. Jesus also said in a similar phrase in John 7, verse 24, this is not your notes, but in John 7, verse 24, Jesus said, judge not, but does not period there. Finish the verse. Judge not according to appearance, but judge. Well, which is it? Judge not or but judge? Judge righteous judgment. The Bible says more about judging than it says judge not. Hold a copy of the concordance. Does the word judge or all the various forms of the word judge and judgment? Judge judge as a verb, judge applied to man, judged, judgment, due judgment, in judgment, judgment, my judgment, statutes in judgment, judgment seat, judges, judgeth, judging. There are 80 references in one column. There are 7 columns where the Bible uses the word judge or in some form. That's 600 times the Bible uses the word judge or some form of it. Somebody asked somebody, what does the Bible say about judging? It says, judge not. That's all they know. Wait a minute, there's 500, what's one I'm talking about? 99. 599 more verses. But people only know one. Judge not. Oh my. That's all you know is judge not. You're missing out on 599 more verses. Too many things. So we're going to stay with this text tonight, not just the 599 other verses. So the judge not of our text is about maintaining fellowship with one another. That could almost be the title of the lesson, maintaining fellowship. Especially when we talk about the judge not. We want to maintain fellowship with one another when there's a difference of opinion. Key phrase, difference of opinion. Because Paul sets forth in this chapter, there's one who eats all. There's not to judge the one who eats herbs only, or vegetarian. And the Bible says, judge not. The idea is that do not make your criticism or your judgment or your evaluation from ill will. When it says, no, don't judge, it's the idea you're not to make that criticism that imputes unworthy motives to another. That's what's forbidden. What's forbidden judging is judging that puts the worst possible interpretation on another's works and actions. When the Bible says don't judge, it's saying don't judge when your intent is destruction, slander, defamation of character. Don't judge when your judging is harsh, uncharitable, and malicious. That's what's forbidden. That kind of judgment. But now in our text, we have differing viewpoints on an opinion. And so in your introduction, verse 1 of Romans chapter 14, that him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But but not to doubtful disputations. The RSV, Revised Standard Version, says welcome him, but not for disputes over opinions. We're talking about opinions. So we don't want differences of opinions, especially the negative ones, just to rule the congregation. That's not the text. We don't want, with our differences of opinion, we don't want it to cause divisions. And also, with our differing of opinions, we don't need to put pressure on each other to change their opinion. We have opinions about things. So verse 1, precede each other in our introduction. In verse 2, he says, for one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eat herbs. So as an illustration for not judging one another, that phrase in verse 13, Paul places the belief of two Christians before the readers. Again, which one's correct? They both are. The dispute begins when one of these people decides that it must be one or the other, and then they want to bind it on the other to maintain fellowship. And that's what Paul says we don't do. Years ago, Palmer Wilson, when he died, almost 15 years ago, I would think, right? Yeah, something like that?
97.
So Palmer Wilson was a congregation, and always, and he'd been in this congregation long before, even before I came. And Christy and I came here 33 years ago. So Palmer Wilson was here, and then we'd have our business meetings once a month. And there might be a difference of opinion about a particular topic. To make it easy. What color to paint the walls? Oh, that's not an easy one. Carpet, yeah. But anytime we'd have a discussion about differences of opinion, not doctrine, I need to say not doctrine so many times during this lesson, because people are going to start thinking, oh, we need to hold that. That's not the topic. But Paul Lewis would always say after the discussion went, he said, whatever the men decide or the congregation decides on something, that's what I'll go along with it. But all I want is my opportunity to express my might have differed from the others, but he said, that's all I want. I just want to express my opinion, but whatever the majority decides, we're going to keep peace. That's what Paul is talking about here. People with two differences of opinions. So here's 10 principles. Did I count them right? 10 Bible principles that are set forth in this chapter. You might get more. I just listed 10. But number one is in verse 3. How do we get along with each other when we have differences of opinion? Number one, or in verse 3, let not him that eats despise him that eats not. The principle is the stronger in faith does not hold the weaker in contempt. That's the principle. The stronger does not in faith does not hold the weaker in contempt. You don't despise them. Seeing he uses that phrase, in receiving one another, we don't ignore the other's view. We don't hold each other in contempt. We don't brush the other's opinion aside. We don't harbor the attitude of I'm all right and you're all wrong. However, if you disagree with me and my opinion, I'm probably thinking you're probably wrong in a lot of things. That's just an opinion. But that's the first principle. Verse 3, the stronger in faith does not hold in contempt the weaker. Second principle is in verses 3 and 4, number 2 in your notes. Let not him which eats not judge him that eats. Let not him, don't do it, which eats not judge him that eats. The principle is the weaker brother does not judge the stronger. That's the reverse of principle number 1. You didn't catch that. Stronger doesn't judge the weak doesn't judge the stronger. Principles 1 and 2 in your notes. Works both ways. The idea is to judge again means to condemn or take a harsh view toward the other that differs from you. Don't do that. I know the weak may label the other as liberal or condemn them for not accepting a more strict behavior, or this one that's weak may have I always use the phrase, he has a narrower view inside the narrow way. Word of God sets the boundaries here. narrow way. Somebody else said, well, I have a, my view is a little narrower, and I think I should bind that on you. Oh, my. Don't do that. Remember, opinions do not gender dispute or strife. Differences of opinion do not gender divisions. That's in the text. Remember the phrase, for God has received him. In other words, God has welcomed, accepted both. God has accepted the weaker and the stronger. So why should these two debate each other on accepting each other when God has accepted both of you? That's the second principle. Number three, verse 5. You have your Bible. I just have part of the text, so you may want to read the whole text in its entirety. I didn't put it all the whole verse in your notes. But verse 5 says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. The principle is, realize that each one is convinced he's right. Both these lads, both these lads are convinced that they're right. And that's what the verse is saying. Let each of you be fully persuaded in your own mind. That's the principle. Be convinced you're right. Many times we seldom see another's point of view as exactly as they do. Sometimes when someone expresses an opinion to me, I may say, you believe that? You painted the wall that color. Might not be my opinion. But we need to realize that the other is fully persuaded in their mind as much as I am in my opinion. The view doesn't violate God's requirements. It doesn't violate sound doctrine. That opinion is okay. It's okay to have that opinion. Number four. Took a section of scripture for this one. Verses 6 through 12. You'll have to read it the entirety yourself. But in verses 6 through 12, I chose verse 12. Each one of us shall give account of himself to God. So the principle is we need to realize that the other's belief is based on his relationship to God. I'll have to give an account of myself to God. Both of us. The one that doesn't eat meat and the one that does. So that's the principle. It's based on my relationship to God. This is what I think is right. And I'm convinced in that. But in verses 7 and 8 of this text, no matter what your opinion is, it has to be in consideration of one another, and we are subject to the Lord, both of us. But I have to consider one another, the other. In verse 10, don't reject the brother who differs in opinion, because he says we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, let me say again, we're talking about differences of opinion. Sound doctrine is not the topic of Romans chapter 14. I have another sermon. I gave that sermon this morning. About sound doctrine. So they realize the other's belief and your belief is based on your relationship to God. Number 5, in verse 13, that's our text, our one another verse. Judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way. So the verse begins, let us therefore, or not therefore, judge one another anymore. But judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way. So the principle is, don't be an obstacle or a stumbling block to your brother. When he has that different point of view. Don't be a stumbling block. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 11, I put some of these verses at the very top of your notes in the introduction. But in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 11, Paul says, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish. For whom Christ died? He's asking a question. Through your knowledge shall the weak brother perish. For whom Christ died? Christ died for him. For that weaker brother. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound the weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat makes thy brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. So the principle here now is don't be an obstacle or a stumbling block to your brother. Now remember, the two opinions are to welcome each other. Don't lift one of these principles out by itself and live by one. I've listed 10. You could probably even make 15 out of the chapter. Take all 10 principles together. Don't isolate one above another. It works together. So that's why we have Bible classes. We use God's Word together, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. You know, God's Word is profitable. It's inspired for doctrine. God's Word, we use God's Word for what we believe, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly furnished unto every good work. So here we have this brother that differs from us, and neither of them should rule the congregation, especially if someone just has a negative comment. You don't always want the isolated negative comment to rule. Everybody bow and bend. No, we're together. This instruction is for the weaker brother, it's for the stronger brother. The message addresses both of them. It's through Bible teaching that we receive each other. But one brother might, knowing the weakness of another, use his liberty to flaunt it and stir up trouble. But we teach so that the weak may be made strong in the faith. It's interesting, too, I just thought of that. When you look at this chapter, it never says the weak brothers remain weak. And we may have brethren who are weak in faith and others strong in faith. That may happen. But the other Bible verses in Paul's letters to the churches are that we, in Peter, we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul addresses a situation where there's a weak brother and a strong brother, one he's meeting, one doesn't, and they need to get along, but it doesn't mean that that weak brother needs to remain weak. It's just not there. So verse number 6 in the principles is verse 15, to walk charitably. Walk charitably. The principle is walk in a loving manner. Charity. We walk with one another in a principle that's designed to edify, build up, encourage in the faith. Love is a benevolent attitude and action. When we love each other, it displays itself in that we give what is needed and we seek the best for one another. And how love is exemplified. So we walk charitably. That's another principle of getting along, maintaining fellowship when two people differ in opinion. Number 7, verses 16 through 18. I just put this heat on the verse, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Now both positions are good. Both of them. But the admonition here and that principle that we want to live with is we need to walk carefully without giving up our opinion. We need to walk in such a way that our good, whether you're strong or whether you're weak, remember, God's received both of you. They're both are good. We need to learn to receive each other, but the principle now here is don't let your good be evil spoken of. In other words, in your good opinion, don't act badly to the other. Walk carefully. And again, I think the emphasis is on teaching the Bible truth to both, so that both are considerate of the other. I don't want to demonstrate my opinion in an offensive manner to the other. However, expressing both of our opinions, we teach each other these principles that are here, and we get along with each other without bad-mouthing each other. We get along. Verse 17, again, that principle goes along with this. the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Why do I want to cause a dispute over that, over food? Why would I want to cause a division over food? Number eight, the principle, then I put in verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, the things that edify. So the principle is pursue peace. But don't eliminate edifying. Edifying is in the same verse, meaning build up, encourage, education, teach, in the same verse. So even though we differ in opinion, yes, we want to live peaceably, but at the same time, we need to teach. And neither of us has to compromise our conviction, neither of us have to change it, or to receive each other. But still, we teach and teach and teach so that we know how to live with each other when we differ, and learn the difference between opinion and doctrine. Number 9, verses 20 and 21, for meat, destroy not the work of God. For meat. So the principle is, again, don't tear down the work of God over meat. Remember, God's received both of them. So we teach, teach, teach. And it's interesting, even in this chapter, Paul gives some instruction about two brethren that differ. In verse 14, he says there's nothing unclean of itself. In verse 20, he says all things are indeed pure. He's given this lesson has been given before, even with God to Peter. In Acts chapter 10, verse 14, he says, and the voice spake unto him the second time, meaning to Peter, what God has cleansed, that call not you, or you don't call that common or unclean. They don't do that. Remember, God said, Peter, rise up and eat. No, I can't do that. Those are unclean animals. And God teaches him, gives him instruction. 1 Timothy 4, verse 3, Paul mentions about those who would forbid others to marry, and they would command others to abstain from meat, which has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So in teaching each other, we need to find out what all of everything God says about it. If one, after reading those verses and others, that one may hold the opinion of eating herbs only, so we still are to receive each other, and we don't dispute, and I don't become a stumbling block to them. But even in Paul giving the instruction right here in chapter 14, the herb eater only, the one that eats herbs only, has to be taught that his position is not based on the Bible, but rather Good Health magazine. Can I say that? And because you read Good Health magazine so much, and you want to be still a follower of God and take in your body as a temple of the Spirit, you pull all those other verses in so you reach your conclusion. I want to be a vegetarian. And you think that that's good. And you can do that. I don't understand it. No, it's my opinion. How could you do such a thing? I'm not supposed to do that. That's an illustration of what not to do. So the principle is, in number 9, for meat, destroy not the work of God. Last one, number 10, verses 22 and 23. And I wrote my notes. I should have written a different maybe summary for you. But in verses 22 and 23, I put my notes. The verse says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Interesting phrase. Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. In other words, the principle is keep your disruptive opinion to yourself. Have it before God. That's just my opinion on that. That's my commentary on the verse. The summary, I think, and I probably should have added this to your notes, is in verse 18. Good concluding principle for the whole lesson. Verse 18, same chapter, Romans 14. For he that in these things, there's three blessings or benefits for both. The one that eats herbs and the one that eats all things. For he that in these things, that's both of you, or both us, three blessings, serves Christ, is acceptable to God, and approved of men. Verse 18. So whatever your position on being a vegetarian or eat all things, it's okay. You hold that position, that's your faith, you have it before God, but know in verse 18 that it's alright, because in holding that position you serve Christ. It is acceptable to God, and it's approved of men. That's the lesson. Judge not one another, but judge this, rather. And here's 10 principles of judgment. Okay. Hope that helps. One of these days I may come back to this lesson in a Bible class format, because I probably stirred up more questions than what I may have answered in this lesson. There may have been additional verses that you would like to comment on or add to this, and this format of giving a lesson doesn't allow you that, so we may come back to this maybe in a Bible class lesson future time. Make comments. Always, we'll continue this again. We'll be out, Christina, we'll be out of town next two Sundays, but three Sundays tonight, Lord willing. We'll continue with the one another verses. And the next verse also is chapter Romans chapter 15. Where it says that we are able to admonish one another. Able to admonish. We have that ability to admonish, warn one another. That'll be in 3 weeks. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Whosoever will may come, the gospel is for all. You, as the invitation is that you've heard the good news message, the Bible message, that God, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he sent his son. You believe that message, and you're willing to adhere to Jesus' requirements of repentance, turning our lives around, meaning turning our lives toward God, doing what he would have us to do. And then you're willing to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's son. You can be baptized for remission of sins and rise to walk in newness of life, and from that point on begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and